This episode is brought to you by our free website startup from Church Media HQ. It seems that with many popular website platforms out there, you are paying them for the privilege to build your own website. There's very little, if any, service and support, and you're pretty much just on your own. At Church Media HQ, our team does all the heavy lifting by setting up and providing ongoing support for your church's website. And of course, there's no risk to you because we actually start the design of your website for free. There's no credit card required, and you only pay if you like what you see. So get our team started on your new website for free today at churchmediahq.com/web. That's churchmediahq.com/web. Well, today's guest is Dean Heasley of Burrow Business Labs right here in my hometown of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Dean has taught me a lot about websites, web presence in general, things like SEO, local Google business listings, social media, email marketing, and we talk about a lot of that in our conversation. Dean is really an expert, a master of his craft, if you will. And so I know that you are going to be greatly helped by my conversation with Dean. So let's get right to it. My name is Luke Clayton. I'm your host. Thanks for being with us, and welcome to Church Media HQ. So you've got the process here.
Yes.
What do you officially call this?
So we call this, is very clever, the Get More Customers marketing formula.
Oh, wow. That's mind blown. Is there, before we dive into it, is there a place where you can find this? Like, do you have it as like a downloadable PDF anywhere or on your website or anything?
So burrowbusinesslab.com, that's okay. B-O-R-O, businesslab.com.
Yeah.
It's on there somewhere, probably under resources. Mm-hmm. If not, it's on the homepage.
And I'll find the link. I'll throw in the show notes. Okay. That's kind of the easy shortcut there.
The easy way? Yeah. I like it. I like the easy way. One of our mantras is clear before clever. We actually probably spent way more time thinking about a clever title, yeah, and we just couldn't come up with one that kind of worked with the whole science theme that we have. And so finally it was, all right, it's the Get More Customers marketing formula. Because when you say that to somebody, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So I'm sensing a little story brand in there. Have you connected with story brand at all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. The whole clear, and I mean, I love story brand. I mean, I follow it.
Donald Miller's fantastic.
Yeah, Donald Miller. Have you been to any workshops or anything?
I have not. No.
Okay.
So I can tell you when I read the entire book in one day.
Yeah.
3 years ago, my son was really into, my oldest was really into Pokemon, and he wanted to go to a regional tournament, and I'm like, oh, whatever, if this is something you want to do, go ahead, we'll go. So I drove him to Roanoke, 7 hours away, and we... So, have you ever been to anything like this?
No.
So I was...
So this, like, is like a Pokemon...
It's card game.
Card game, yeah, okay, card game.
Where you go...
Okay. I forget there's a card game. I'm thinking immediately like Pokemon Go, the app.
So there's different Pokemons. There's like Pokemon for the Switch, which you can play like against somebody else, and it's more like a traditional video game. And then there's the card game, which is what my son was into, because we tried to limit digital stuff, or we did. Now they're older, it's inescapable.
Yeah.
But
after 2020, it's all this.
Yeah, exactly. So we went, and he was going to play cards. He had built his deck and all this stuff, and I didn't realize the demographic of Pokemon competitors was mostly middle-aged men. And so I show up in this arena, and first of all, I thought there was going to be like 20 kids there. Mm-hmm. And there's 1,000 people,
wow,
most of which were grown men.
Wow.
I don't want to alienate anybody, but dude, there's other things to do than Pokemon. So I sat for 13 hours in an enormous auditorium, and I read StoryBrand, the whole book that day. So that's my association with StoryBrand now.
So it wound up being a blessing in disguise there. You had to go to this, suffer through this Pokemon thing, but you did discover StoryBrand in the process.
Yes. And I had fun with my son, and he appreciates that I drove 7 hours and we spent two nights so that he could spend a day playing Pokemon.
Awesome.
But StoryBrand back on marketing track. StoryBrand is fantastic. I love it. It's simple. And the thing I love about it, if I had to summarize it into one thing, would be that it tells the marketer to make the customer the hero.
Yep. That's huge.
It is. And especially as like marketing people, most of us have an overblown sense of our own importance.
Yeah.
When you think about it from the StoryBrand perspective, I'm not the hero. Mm-hmm. I'm helping the hero. Oh my customer is the hero. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. I love it. I absolutely love it.
And I mean, we've talked about it plenty on the podcast, but it's still something churches especially struggle with it. Because the hero is Jesus, right?
Right.
And he is, but you know, when you're doing your marketing, I've tried to reframe it a little bit to maybe put in a little more speak of the understanding. It's maybe not calling the hero, just if nothing else, though, put them at the center of your marketing efforts. You know, use things like, use pronouns like you instead of we and me and us. I mean, you know, make it about them. Like, what are you going to do? What can you do, if you will, that communicates the value that your church provides for this person?
Yes.
And so, but yeah, it all stems from the StoryBrand concept. So you came up with something that was clear and clever, or clear over clever.
Clear over clever, yes.
And it is. I mean, when you first introduced it to me before we started recording, I was like, oh yeah, that sounds actually super interesting.
Yeah.
And you gave me a quick overview of it. And I was like, I mean, yeah, granted, I'm kind of in the space a little bit, so I understand the language, but you didn't even use like, you know, language. I mean, you were just like, we do this first and this first. I'm like, oh, that sounds really good. And as I may or may not have heard, I don't know if it'll make the cut here, but I may be doing business with you here pretty soon. So who knows here? Anyway, so it's working is what I'm saying.
Clear over clever.
So let's walk through this process though.
Sure.
So like seven steps, right?
Yeah, seven steps. And a lot of this, we geared this towards local businesses. I don't know when we started recording, so I may be repeating myself, but local businesses, this is really for local business. So if you've got like an e-commerce site or you're selling info products, this is not the order,
yeah,
right? This is the order for a local business that has a physical place,
yep,
and they do business with people in a certain geographic region,
mm-hmm,
Nashville or Middle Tennessee or Murfreesboro or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what works for them. And the first thing is claim your Google My Business page. This is something I scream from the mountaintops, and most business owners don't understand the importance of it until I say three times as many people are going to see your information on Google Maps as are ever going to end up at your website. So you should, if you're doing math right, you should spend three times as much energy on your Google My Business page as you should on your website.
Yeah.
Now, there is an ecosystem that's created there between the two. So you have to have a good website to do well in Google Maps, and you have to do well in Google Maps to have your website rank. But if I were starting a business from scratch and I had nothing other than the name of my business, the very first thing I would do would be claim my business on Google, My Business.
Okay.
And it's easy. You go to business.google.com and you start the process, and it is so simple. Many people don't do it.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting because, you know, and again, now let me just clarify, and you may have said this, is that your recommendation for any business, but or for like a local business in particular, which a local business in this case would be like a church?
Okay? Yes.
You are a local, you know, I don't know of a church that's your church online is a thing now, but just about every church I know of is hubbed somewhere and you're reaching a local community.
Yes, absolutely. Churches absolutely have to do this, mm-hmm, if they want to be able to reach people. And I mean, I grew up in church. My parents went to church. Their parents, everybody, were church.
You're from the South, aren't you? Yeah.
Originally, Pittsburgh area.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, so, but I mean, we're church people.
Yeah.
So we've always just kind of gone to a church.
Mm-hmm.
But I have spoken to many people recently that found their church by Googling,
mm-hmm,
which to me, that is mind-bogglingly silly, but it's happening.
Yeah.
And I mean, these are people that weren't Christians. They're new Christians. And, you know, they realize, oh, I need to find a place to plug in. What do, mm-hmm, I do? I mean, if you want a pizza, you get on Google. If you want a church, you get on Google.
Yeah.
So churches need to have a good Google My Business claimed verified, optimized, all of that stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say too, talking about if you are a new Christian or you're new to church and you just, you know, church would be a good idea or whatever reason, you're not necessarily caring about, well, what do they believe specifically?
Right.
And, you know, what's their worship style and these things that churches tend to think are really important. And
right.
not to say that there's not a reason to care about that stuff, but probably the thing I would say that they care about most is how close is it to my house?
Yeah.
And that's where the local business listing comes in.
Right. It absolutely does. I mean, proximity to searcher is the number one ranking factor for a local business. And I just read a statistic recently that like 55%, it's over half of all of searches on Google have local intent now.
Yeah.
And it used to be much smaller, but it's growing, I think, because of COVID and people are scared and people's circle of geography is naturally shrinking.
So does that mean that like they're searching for, you know, churches in Nashville instead of what, you know what I'm saying? Like they're searching more, they're making their search terms to be more specific to like in my area.
So yes, they're making their search terms more specific, but also Google knows when somebody has local intent.
Yeah. Okay.
So if somebody searches for hamburger place, they know that the person's not looking for like, what's the best hamburger place in the world? They're looking for what's the best one near me.
Mm-hmm.
And so those local intent searches are now over 50% of all searches done, period,
cool.
which is massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically then getting back to this local business listing, you are saying if you are a local business organization, church, whatever, the first thing you need to do when you say, I want to start a church or business is go get your Google listing.
Yes.
That comes before like a web domain.
Yes.
Or your Twitter handle.
Yes.
Or a Facebook page or anything like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Get your business on Google. And one of the reasons I believe this, one is you have to be available for people who are searching and you're going to show up in Google Maps. The second thing is Google loves Google.
Yeah.
So when you think about it that way, this is very, very high level here. Google looks for two things, authority and consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And because Google loves Google, what I do for my clients is I get their Google My Business listing set up first, and then I cut and paste that information into Facebook and LinkedIn and Apple Maps and Yelp so that it matches exactly because Google's looking for consistency and Google wants everything else to match Google.
Yeah.
So, and it's very specific, like capitalization, spacing,
really?
Punctuation.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It's not as 6, 7, 8 years ago, it used to be more important. Now it's not as important, but still, if your Google My Business listing is like 123 King ST period, make sure it's ST period in Facebook and Yelp and Apple Maps and not street spelled out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because another thing, and this may be off topic or getting ahead of ourselves, but that's why, I've heard that, you know, getting your stuff on YouTube is also, if you're going to be doing content like that, making sure it's on YouTube because YouTube's owned by Google and Google loves Google. And so therefore, whenever you're doing or searching, it's going to favor, YouTube results, you know, specifically in the video tab, but maybe even just in general. So
yes.
It makes sense that Google is going to give itself more authority.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
So let's say somebody is looking to do they're like, hey, I don't think we've done that. How would they go about, you know, doing the Google listing process?
Sure. So it's very simple. You log into business.google.com. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't exist on Google at all, then you'll create your listing. Likely your stuff will be there, probably kind of messy, maybe with inaccurate information. You're going to have to claim it.
Mm-hmm.
And so still the same thing, business.google.com. But when you type in your information, your location may come up. Just click on that and hit claim. And then you'll go through a verification process that will involve usually Google mailing a postcard to your house or to your business or to your church so that Google knows that the person verifying is actually at that physical location.
Cool.
And that helps them cut down on location spam.
So get that Google listing then. And it sounds like it's not super difficult to do.
No,
you know, you just now, but and so that I have done this years ago when I actually worked at a church full time. I actually did this. So it's been a long time. I mean, like probably 6 or 7 years. So I'm sure the process has changed a little bit and whatever, but they're going to mail you that postcard.
Yes.
Is it possible though, for example, what if you go on there and like, you're like, oh wait, my business has already been claimed. I've heard of that happening before.
Yes.
So
the way that you do that is there's a thing that you can do that says, I want to manage this business. And you click on that, and then there will be a little form that you fill out with like your name and your relationship to the business. And then you'll hit verify, and it will say a verification request has been sent to, and then it will give you like pieces of an email.
Gotcha.
So that it doesn't give away the whole email address, but it will let you know kind of who or what entity has claimed it. And then if nobody responds in 7 days, then you should be able to log back in and try to claim it yourself.
Okay.
So there are ways to get around it.
Okay.
I have been in situations where Google just doesn't want to do that. And then you have to get on chat and send them photos of the inside and the outside of the building and where you have the address on the street. It could be complicated, but 9 times out of 10, it's fairly simple.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is step one. Like if you're just, like I said, you're start, or even if you're a more established organization of any kind, I mean, whether you've done this, you need to do this if you haven't yet.
Yes.
Anything else about this step that's important to cover before we move on?
So this step, actually, Google My Business is the most important thing, but then making sure that your information is the same as it is in Google My Business in multiple different local directories. Mm-hmm. You can do this yourself, but it would be like a full-time job. So what we do, what Borough Business Lab does for our clients, is we enter this information into a software program that pushes it out to, it's like 60 or 70 different local directories. And we make sure that your information is good on data aggregators, which is some techie thing. And we make sure that your data is adequate so that you'll show up when somebody does a voice search, which more and more people have their wiretaps in their house.
Yeah. You see, you're looking at mine over here.
Hey, wiretap.
Yeah.
And so we make sure that, you know, if somebody says, you know, hey, name of your speaker, I don't want to say it because then it's going to activate.
Yeah, it'll activate every device in the world. Yeah.
But we'll make sure that your information is easily accessible to somebody searching by voice as well as with their keyboard.
Yeah. I mean, when you consider, obviously, Google being kind of like the king of these local listings, but when you consider the Facebook, the Yelp, Apple Maps, and then, like you said, these voice-activated devices as well.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
There are.
And I'm sure there's other smaller ones that we're not. Yahoo has an equivalent, don't they?
I mean, yes, Yahoo, and there's hundreds. There's Dex and Silex. Silex. I don't know. There's just all these weird, goofy ones that no one's ever heard of.
But the point is, start with Google, get that one first, and then maybe claim as many of them as you can on your own. And
then
if you really want to get serious, maybe hire someone like yourself who knows how to, you know, make it happen efficiently and quickly and all that stuff.
Yes.
So, okay. So your local business listing, primarily with Google and with others, what's step two?
Step two is have a good website.
Okay.
Which Borough Business Lab doesn't do a lot with churches. We really try to focus on the for-profit sector. So having somebody like you is so valuable to have a good website. And, you know, I heard recently someone very smart, she used to be in charge. She was the like global VP of digital for Mattel. And she said something profound. She was like, there's no more SEO. There's customer experience optimization. And I was like, yeah, I disagreed at first, but then I thought about it. And Google is moving more towards ranking based on whether or not the customer, which is the searcher, is finding what they're looking for and spending time on the website. And so that's becoming a huge ranking factor. So by doing good, having a good technical base for your website, making sure that it's optimized, making sure that it has good, fresh content on a monthly basis, all of those things really work towards helping you rank. So having a good website also that connects with your Google My Business listing, that is the second step. So a good customer-friendly, easy-to-understand website.
Well, we're going to continue the conversation next time. And until then, I want to thank you for joining us for this episode. And I want to give you a reminder to subscribe on YouTube and wherever you're listening to podcasts. You can also check out the episode's description to learn more about featured products and services from Church Media HQ. You can also learn more about the show's guests and content contributors. Now, if you do find this content to be helpful, then help us out by leaving us a 5-star review and sharing this episode with other church leaders like you. Also remember, Church Media HQ, well, we're so much more than our weekly episodes. You can actually access creative resources such as weekly graphics, custom design requests, website setup, creative coaching, and a lot more. And all of this is available for free at churchmediahq.com. Well, until next time, I want to give you our infamous reminder that it's time for you to try something new, because you're going to find that it's so much better to fail trying the incredible than it is to succeed at doing just the average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.